Like to go to chapter 17, please. As you go to chapter 17, I made some reference to Peter, and he was converted to the word of the Lord, recommissioned now as a shepherd of God's people. And yet it's important to realize what we're talking about, that these problems and inconsistencies of our faith, even at the beginning, thank God, God doesn't require perfect faith. He requires us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so these inconsistencies go a long way. Even with Peter afterward, you'll remember the problem he had with conscience and food. So that the Lord had cleansed foods and said all meats were clean if they're received with prayer and thanksgiving. That happened in the Gospels. And still, Peter, his struggles in that area, which denotes, again, God's patience with us. God's patience and respect of conscience. And how God, the Lord Jesus, works to develop our Christian personalities. And the wonder of God, according to Romans 8, who has given us his Holy Spirit, who intercedes for us in prayer. Because our prayers are flawed. What we ask for is inconsistent with our faith many times. And yet God doesn't shut us up. He gives us the Spirit to make utterings for us that we don't even understand, and takes our prayers and presents them to God according to the will of God for us. He develops our personalities. When we become Christians, we don't become diminished people. We are now on a journey where he is unleashing, molding, expanding, and developing our Christian character of faith in him. Coming to Christ doesn't make us less responsible. And we need to be careful with our prayers. Coming to Christ makes us more responsible. We're headed to reign over the universe. And those that God will entrust that kind of authority, power, and government to are going to be those who learn to be responsible before him in their walk and their thinking. We shall be like the Lord Jesus. So Peter, he's still in Acts. The Lord, rise, Peter, kill and eat. There's the word of the Lord. And what does he say?
No.
Three times over. Still the problem persists. You see what I'm saying? This is, oh, thank God for his patience. Thank God for his mercy. You see? Absolutely. And then not only that, but later, remember what happened to Peter at Antioch, where Paul saw it right to rebuke the man publicly to his own face. So thank God, amen, for his great mercy and patience with us. And that he who hath begun the good work shall. And it is God who willeth in you and worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. One day we shall be like him. Blessed be his name. So now we're in 17. And as we're in 17, you'll notice that, again, you know, we heard to get our bearings. Look at the end of chapter 16, verse 16. How old was Abraham when Ishmael was born? 86 years old. And now 13 years go by. We're in chapter 17, verse 1. And we had wonderful ministry yesterday on this, didn't we? And this is the second major period of Abraham's life and the great lesson that he had to learn. And that was the lesson of what circumcision means. And for us as Christians, Philippians chapter 3, we are the circumcision who walk in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. But now, notice, how old is Abraham here in chapter 17, verse 1? He's 99. So we know that Ishmael is approximately, right, 13 years old. And not only is Abraham here 99, but it was at this juncture that God finally, remember, we knew who the father of the promised seed would be. But now the question becomes, who would the mother be? And this is when this is announced in chapter 17. And in chapter 17, verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And then down to verse 21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And so the issue is, what was Abraham's response at that moment? Verse 17. Notice again, it was in the heart. That's important. It wasn't an outward ha 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 ha. See? But it was in the heart, as later in chapter 18, Sarah herself is going to laugh when the news is brought to her and communicated to her. And she laughs, and she laughs. Now we're in chapter 18, verse 12. Then Sarah laughed where? Within herself. Back to 17. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and what? Said in his heart. So now we're in 18:12, and she says it in her heart. She said it within herself. She laughs within herself. And am I waxed old? Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed. What was the time appointed? A year from then. A year. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. Did she lie? I will take the stand that she did not.
Within herself. Not
out loud. And this is where, again, you want to talk about marriage? And yesterday there was conversation about marriage and men and women thinking. I'm telling you, men think different than women. And women think different than men. And I suggest to you, Sarah says, I did not laugh! Was she lying? No, she wasn't. At what level? She didn't laugh literally out loud. Huh? And Abraham discounts what she says, and now men's thinking, you did that. Oh, wonderful marriages and happy marriages and harmonious relationships, you see. But anyway, it's important, isn't it? And God help us. When we make judgments, we can be very confused, wrong, in our judgments. And when people say they didn't do something, well, technically, she didn't. None of what she was accused of by Abraham. But yet, we know, in her heart, her attitude, she had laughed. Okay, so now, as we come to this, we realize this was God's announcement, and Abraham's reaction was, he laughed, chapter 17, verse 17, said in his heart, and so on. And notice what his reaction also was, verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, what did he say unto God? I don't want Isaac. I want Ishmael. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Ishmael was the product of his
flesh.
Israel was the product of his religious works. Israel was the product of his thinking that God had to be helped by man in order for God to keep his promises. How deeply ingrained is that in us? How deeply ingrained was it in Abraham? Again, God help us. Let's get back to the Word of God and be careful in everything that we say. And so now, as we consider this, let's look also with the fact that in verse 21, God himself, or verse 19, I'm sorry, in response to verse 18, would to God that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name. What? Say, laughter. That's what his name means. It is derived from the word that is laughed. And that word is also translated, well, it could be a joyous, happy laugh, as later we get when Sarah conceives and has a son. And she laughs, doesn't she? Look at chapter 21 and verse 5. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. What a statement about the effect of the gospel, you know. All that hear will laugh with Sarah. You'll either laugh like she laughed in her carnality and unbelief and mock the promises, or you'll laugh like she did when that which she mocked became the ultimate reality, and became the ultimate reality that caused her to laugh with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And one of the things that I think to myself is, I wonder, here's God himself, and God himself and God's ironies and so on, how he, when he announces the birth of Isaac, and they mock it in laughter, and he declares, that's what you will name the child. Isn't that wonderful? And I wonder when we get to glory, my brother, I don't know if you've thought about it, how many times will you be overwhelmed at the things we laughed at? Laughed at in the sense that we took lightly, that we didn't give it the absolute credence and wonder. Have I wondered of it?
Yeah, what that would be.
Well, I've only thought to myself, it's going to be better than the one he gives Steve Rusk. That's all I. Oh, I haven't gone further than that one yet. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
yeah, I know he does, man. But that's a beautiful thought, brother.
Yeah,
huh? Yeah, that's right. Isn't that? And it'll be a name.
Yeah.
Like you're just suggesting that's suitable because it encompasses the whole of who we were, what we were, and of the glorious work that he has done in each of us, that when you look at me, then you will see his glory written on my forehead. Isn't that wonderful? It's tremendous stuff. It's just wonderful. Well, praise the Lord. So the point then being, to wrap this up, this is God himself saying, and this is the name you're going to give him, laughter. And forever, forever, even Abraham will remember and will never forget how he first laughed at the thing. Now, the point that I asked when we come into chapter 20 and he goes to Gerar and he goes to Abimelech, and there he tells Sarah at this stage, say you are my sister. And I asked the question, what was this man thinking? Think about it. He went to Gerar when he was 99 years old. He went to Gerar not only when he was 99 years old, but soon following God making the pronouncement concerning Sarah, that promised seed, at this set time next year, she will conceive and she will bear you a son. And in him shall all my promises be found and guaranteed. What was Abraham's reaction? What was Abraham thinking when he now decides to go to Gerar and tells her again, and still at this juncture requires of her that she say, she is my sister, and exposes her, the mother of the promised seed, in the same year that the seed would be born. 9 month gestation period. How much time? What was this man thinking that he would expose her to this, which would have been a disaster and would have called in question the promised seed, not by man, but by the power of God and his faithfulness to keep that which he has promised, that by faith we might be saved. What was this man thinking? No, she wasn't pregnant here. I wouldn't say that's the whole point. No. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. And you wonder, what was he thinking? I got Ishmael. What do I need Isaac for? Horrible, isn't it? And so, as you come here to chapter 20, the man, by his actions, at this stage in his life, puts the whole plan of redemption in jeopardy. And if left to himself at this time, he himself would have destroyed the whole thing. Tell me, how many times have you come to that point in your Christian life? And again, what is it that gets into us and in our thinking when these thoughts of how well we're doing begin to creep in? Our title to take of the loaf and take of the cup is never our performance. Our title to confess our sins is what the loaf and the cup represent. That under the blood of Christ, we have been redeemed to face ourselves, to be realistic, to confess our sins, and to learn to get beyond the flesh and the carnality of our own ways and embrace all the wonder of God, His Son, and God's Word and self-revelation. Oh, God, help us to do it. What is it that enables me to admit the worst about myself? And God requires it as a condition for my forgiveness. If we confess our sins, it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Because my standing is always in Him and His work at Calvary. It's not about me in that sense. It's about Him. And so forever, until we get to glory, Hebrews 9:14. And how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works, so that we might serve the living God. Oh God, help us to keep going. And so in chapter 20, this whole thing about Abraham, what were you thinking? And towards the end of the chapter, it says that, verse 14, and Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. What a kindness from that man. What a kindness from that man. Do you get thoughts that you're going to see Abimelech in glory? Huh? Wonderful, isn't it? He uses the likes of Abraham. He can use the likes of you all. Blessed be his name. And it says that Abimelech said, verse 15, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes. In other words, he is a vindication to thee. What I have given to him is a vindication. It is a justification to thee. Unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was justified. She was vindicated. What do you mean she was justified? She was vindicated. Sarah was vindicated. Justified for everyone to know, even by Abimelech's own declaration and payment to Abraham, that in this matter, her status as Abraham's wife and mother of the promised seed had not been compromised, in spite of her saying, Abraham is my brother. And the promised seed was, and the mother of the promised seed was vindicated for all to know how important that is, because you'll see what God had done to Abimelech and to his kingdom. What had he done? What verse is it? No, before then. I think it's before then. Where it says he had shut up the womb. Okay, then again, verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech. Why? Why? Because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. In other words, the vindication of Sarah. Oh, thank God. Our assurance, our salvation is all of him. And how we heard say already, if you could ruin your salvation, if you could lose your salvation, you would. Thank God we can't. Because it's his salvation. It's his provision. And God is fully able to perform Amen. And preserve that which he has promised. I'll stop there and turn it all Good. Over to Keith. Praise
so
the Lord.
We want to give